We're up to Klal Ayin Gimel Ois Yud, middle of going through the different utensils that require Tfilas Kelim. Rechayim Shel Pilpulin, the mill, the pepper mill, Tzarech Tfilah, needs to be Tevel, Mishum HaMatchis, because it has metal in it, even though the mill may be made out of wood, but the grinding piece is made out of metal. It's, I guess, similar today to a blender, where the whole blender is plastic, except for the blade that cuts is metal. So, plugged in. Yeah, plugged in by itself in that makel. Would not make on that alone. The idea that something plugged in is mechubel karka, it would not make on that alone. It's a tziruf to other things. It says if you have 40, if you have gigantic vats in which you hold liquid, you hold wine, it's not potter because it's very big and it can't be moved. That's what it says. Right in the beginning of Hilchos Tfilas Kelim. So it's not a potter by itself. So at any rate, Aval HaTachtoin HaMekabel HaTavlin Ein Tzarech Tfilah DeKulei Eitz. But the part of the very same keli which is made out of wood does not need tefillah. V'chein HaMishpachos, also not the families, but the things that are used to pour, let's say a funnel, chen habarzai shekar and safin, or klisha shayvan by mayim, or keli with which you draw water, tzrichin tefillah. V'nirali, the kli shekailin by kava, ain't tzarech tefillah. The keli, he doesn't explain why, shekailin by kavi, in which you roast the coffee beans, doesn't eat tefillah. It's interesting, he doesn't say why, but the coffee beans themselves are not roi l'achila. And we spoke out last night, that something which is not roi l'achila is not mechayiv tefillah. Umeducha is tzrichin tefillah, and grinders do need tefillah, ve'ef shegam rechayim shel kava. And perhaps that which grinds the coffee should need, I don't know why coffee grinds would need, I mean, in theory, the coffee grinds make their way into the coffee, but
not in that state.
That's
only after the hot water goes on.
Yeah. I don't know. It says in parentheses, it could be a grinder for pepper is different than a grinder for coffee because they're roi lachila at the time, and he remains in a tzarachian. So it's really not so clear why the coffee. I mean, in theory, when you grind the coffee, that's as far as it goes until it becomes rei l'achila. But I'm not sure.
But
the Keurig problem is that it holds the water. In the Keurig machine, the liquid is held in a metal. We opened one or two, and that's metal. Even though most of the Keurig machine is plastic, and our minig is not the type of plastic, but the basin that holds the liquid is made out of metal. Now, the tumul there is the following. There's a concept that something that's not visible you're not tevel it. A beis hastorim ain't tzarech tefillah. Something that's in your stomach doesn't have to be tevel. Something that's in a hidden part of a person's tamei, and something in the base of starim, it's not makabel tome, you don't have to be tevel it. But there's a shaila in the lumdis of the inyan, whether the pshat is it doesn't need tefillah, or the fact that that the outer part of the keli is totally immersed is adequate for what's in it as well. And this is it's a rather complicated issue, and that's what the Keurig thing depends on. Those who are makel, have two arguments. One is that you can't tevel it, you ruin it. So it's hard to understand why that would be a heter. You can't tevel it, you ruin it. Well, if you can't kasher something, because you'd ruin it, so it stays treif, it doesn't become kosher. So it's not so poshut that if you can't tevel it, it's a heter. However, the argument is that the metallic parts are all in a base hastarim, and as such, that they should not need tefillah. That's one argument. The counter argument to that is it's not really true that really the base of storm is considered tevled when you tevel something. That it's a technical argument. Published a psak on this from Rebelsky, and it's a little unclear because in the beginning it says you don't have to tevel it. it seems to say, because it's a base of starim. And then it says, therefore, you should sell it to a guy. Which means that the heter is obviously not such a clear heter.
Well, one second. There would definitely be starif of the...
Now, plugging in is not real, Monte. I'm telling you, it's not a real heter. In fact, nobody uses it. It's used as an afterthought. As an afterthought. The pot is for a different reason. And then it's also plugged in.
So it's not a star of two things. It's the starim.
Yeah, but the base starim is also a questionable heter. So Belsky said to sell it to a guy, because he can't tie. Well, let's sell it to a guy. Now, there are two types of keurigs.
Selling to a guy
where the name is forgotten. Yes, so Belsky had an explanation about why it should be okay. Even though it's not like the Mishnah Berurah, but he had an explanation of it. But a logical explanation. However, there's a little bit of misinformation. There are two types of Keurig machines. A Keurig machine with a screen, which has a memory chip, which means there's always something alive, live electricity in it. If you table it, you ruin it. And then the old-fashioned Keurig machine is the type we have here at Mishra Night, which has no screen, and if you don't plug it in, there's no electricity. If you table that, it does not ruin it unless you plug it in when it's still wet. And we tabled four Keurig machines. Mine, the Yeshiva one, we had a total of four, and none of them got ruined. There's a fifth one that was tabled by someone here in Shul, and he said it got ruined. I suspect he plugged it in too soon, because I don't know why his should get ruined, everybody else's didn't. But it depends, which I tell you. I think if you buy it, and you have a mind not to be kind of it, it could be his Devarim Shabbalay. If you tell someone, I'm having a mind not to be kind of it, it would be a little better than selling it to a guy, which might be not as good as you have in mind beferish, not to be kind of when you purchase it, that might be a better heter. But anyway, most of the velt does not title the Keurig machines, and hopefully they're knocked into a guy.
What do you tell this to? They cannot kind
of... You tell it to your wife. Who else?
You pay the cashier.
As long as it's not the Varm Shabbalay.
So if you're not kind of something, then the velt is no...
It remains the previous owner's.
So if you buy a set of expensive china,
you
say I'm not trying it.
You don't tell expensive glassware, silverware. Yeah, you wouldn't have to tivel it again. It's a question. In the shtaka shein bailov, if its original owner was forgotten, then technically the mishavur says you have to tivel it. Rebelsky is arguing that you shouldn't have to, based on alumnus. What? Most of the world doesn't tie. Well, they're afraid they'll get ruined. Chas v'shalom.
What?
Afraid chas v'shalom they'll get ruined. Chalila. Okay. So what should I tell you? Okay. At any rate, this is the... Because of Keurig machines? Okay. Anyway, Zehu. Yud Aleph. Ikka kli shalaitz. Now here's a halacha which is not well known. And you'll see in a minute has an interesting application. Let's see what he says. Ikra kli shalaitz. If you have a wooden keli, umat barzel kavua boy. It has some metal in it. Nowadays you would have a screw in it or something that's made out of metal. Klumay elu hamishpachi shalaitz. Like these pitchers of wood. Ubesaychay shifayferish barzel. Inside is a metal pipe. Ain't sarach tvila. Kim shef shalashtamish b'lo ya barzel. If the barzel is not needed for the shimush, it's okay. Mechen kol kiyotzei bazeh. Anything that has some metal which is not functional is fine. V'aminducha shel pilpul and shalaitz. And those pounders that are made out of wood, she'al hamodach mitzupa barzel, and on the part that pounds the barzel, the pepper, there's metal. V'efshel laduch b'loy tzipoy ein tzarach tefila. If it's just a coating that's not needed, you don't have to title it. I have a clear masukim, you say this shabarzel. Ubalay, I say this, like, efshal ishtamish bay. This is a halacha of something that's machzik the keli. A keli that's made out of screws or pegs of metal. And without them, you couldn't use it. Vehem bifnim. And they're in the keli. It's sarach tefila. But kli eitz. Now listen to this. This is a regular barrel. All barrels are wood with metal rings around it. That have rings of metal around it, Yitfail, you have to table it, although, b'lai bracha, because it's a dispute. Now, this is a big chumra. If the maimid is metal, if the thing that holds it together is metal, even if the whole thing is made out of wood, or nowadays out of plastic, the maimid is mechayev tefillah. Which means, if you have a plastic keli, and the thing that holds the keli together is a screw, a metal screw, so that's mechayev tefillah, provided that the metal screw holds the inside. If the metal is just holding some decoration on the outside, that's nothing. But if the kli is held together with a metal screw, that's a maimid, it's mechayev tefillah. But the kli wouldn't stay together. If you took these rings off the barrel would fall apart. So it affects it indirectly, because it holds it together. B'kashal kesef shu osi kitikunai, and a silver becher that's made properly, rakshu mechubah b'kliyetz, just it has, it's partially metal, partially wood, ton tefila, the reverse. If you need the wood to hold it together, it's not a metal keli, you table it without a bracha. So it's a little confusing sometimes on the challah boards. Now, the challah boards, most of them are plexiglass, not real glass. Some are real glass. When you cut, it has real glass on top. Now, glass needs to be tabled. The glass itself wouldn't function as a challah board. It's together with the challah board that it's usable. So you'd have to table it, but probably without a bracha because of this din. That if the glass or metal part itself was not functional, it needs the wood. So it falls into this machlokes of a composite keli, and therefore you table it without a bracha. Some of them are plexiglass and wood, and there's a silver decoration underneath. That silver does not have any function for the food. It's a decorative. And decorative things are not mechayev tefillah. So then they don't have to table it. However, a lot of them have screws that hold the glass on. If those are metal screws, again, you would be chayev and tefillah. Even if it's plexiglass, it would still be chayev and tefillah.
Now, when the rough question the other night, a muffin man, if you're putting the batter into,
That's a good question. Why isn't it a maimid? Why isn't it a maimid? The answer is it's separate. A maimid is when it's constructed together. It holds the keli together. If they're two separate things, let's say you have the old Coke things with the triangular cups that you stick in. So even though it's a maimid, if you consider it to be a separate keli, then it wouldn't be chayim and tefillah. If they're separate things that hold each other, that are used together, it would be different. But if it's one keli and the maimid is mechayiv, then it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush that it's mechayiv. And I think all the paiskim hold that this is something that's chayiv.
What?
Well, I don't think it's a machlokes. I think everyone agrees. If the maimid, the case of the barrel with the rings is in the Shulchan Aruch, a totally wooden barrel that has metal rings holding it together. It should be no different than a screw holding it together. It will fall apart otherwise that it's chayiv and tefillah. So a lot of the plastic kelim are that way. So that is Yud Beis. Actually, he talks about something else. He talks about, on the contrary, when the handles are metal. But if you have a wooden handle with a metal blade.
So
what's the question? Oh, you make a brux. The metal itself is not usable. It's interesting. The wood is really what holds it as a metal knife. You may be right. I don't know. I'd be curious. I'll try to take that as homework and check it up. Because the instinct is to make a bracha when you table it. But I'm not sure. Now, as far as whether you have to table the whole thing, what?
That's only with metal and glass is a shayla.
Glass is not a shayla. It's a mistake. Glass is the rabbanon. But there's no question that it has to be tefillah. There's no machlokes.
Yes, I'm talking about a bracha. You just talking about
glass. We make a bracha. Glass, you do make a bracha. Just we have now the shayla in this type of a case with a wooden handle. Now, if the handle is potter and the keli is chayiv, it's very interesting machlokes between Rav Moshe and Dayan Weiss, the Michas Yitzchak. They're talking about an old-fashioned samovar, a hot water urn. A hot water urn is actually two kelim. It's the heating element in the bottom and the pot on top. And they're just, the outside metal holds them as one. But actually, that's all it is a heating element, a pot, and then they're connected. Now the heating element, you don't have to tivel. We don't tivel our stove grates. The pot has to be tivel. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, he was told that the heating element will get ruined if you immerse it in water. So he says, turn it upside down. And you have to fill it with water, or else the water won't go in. You fill it with water, you put a board on top, turn it upside down, put it into the water, remove it. So now, if you turn it upside down, Rav Moshe says, just lower it into the water till the pot half, the pot section. And the heating element section doesn't have to be in the water. And that's adequate for a tefillah. That's what Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva. And the logic is that that's the only part that needs tefillah, the other part doesn't need tefillah. So Dayan Weiss has a response to Rav Moshe. He agrees on the first cheshbon that only the keli part needs tefillah, not the heating element part. However, he says you can't tevel something if it's not immersed. It has to be surrounded with water. In the case where you turn it over and lower it, you're not teveling the part of the keli that needs tefillah, the pot part, is not surrounded with water all around. And since it's not surrounded with water all around, it doesn't matter that the heating element doesn't have a din chatzitza. And it's problematic. That's what he writes. And the Chalukei Dayos, this goes back to Rayas one way or the other, in the Makar HaDvarim, whether it has to be surrounded with water. Now the Nafkamina is, if it has to be surrounded with water, if you're tiveling, let us say, a toaster oven, let's say you're tiveling the whole toaster oven, and you're leaving the cord out, the cord doesn't need tefillah. A plug cord doesn't have to be tiveled. Some cords can be removed from this, you don't have to tivel it. But if the cord is connected, according to Dayan Weiss, you would have to put the cord in the water too. Because the keli is not totally immersed in water, because the part that's touching the cord, it has a pathway out.
Only the part of the cord that's directly connected.
Right. At that spot where the cord is connected, you have a problem. It's not immersed in water.
I just was titled an egg slice. I held it by the plastic, the base of the egg.
You didn't lower the plastic base into the water.
Not all the way.
So Rav Moshe would hold that's good, and Dayan Weiss would hold that's no good. Because the metal part was not immersed in water totally. It had a, well, not really. Not really, because there was a pathway out of the water without going through the water. No, if it's connected, as long as it's connected, it really doesn't matter. If you, if you're tivel,
the top of the plastic,
the part that's touching the plastic is not surrounded by water 100%. Because it has a pathway out of the water, not through the water, through the plastic. And he would hold that it's a problem. My show is that it's adequate, that it's not an issue. It's a question of the lumdis of Tivling Kalim. Does it have to be immersed or just has to be totally in the water? In theory, it would be a shiloh if somebody could go into a mikveh, totally, and he'll put his finger at the tip of the water, you know, where, you know, it's, does it have to be surrounded with water or it has to be in the water? In theory, that would be the shiloh. It's a lumdish shaila. It's hard to be machriya one way or the other. Although, it does seem there are rayas to what Dayan Weiss is saying. It would seem the pashtus is that has to be immersed in water. And Rav Moshe brings a raya. He brings a raya that doesn't have to be. So there's kachidaka shalalacha, you know, there are opinions one way or the other. Okay, the yodos hakelim, that's yod bay, tzarech lahatvil yodos hakelim. When you tevel a keli, the handle has to be teveled as well. If they're long and they're going to be cut off, matvil ad mokim she'osid liktzais v'day. This is Rav Moshe's raya. By a handle, you only have to tevel the handle till the spot where you plan to remove it. V'dayai, and that's good enough. The chiddush is that the part that's not, that you plan to remove doesn't have a din chatzitza on the part that's connected. There's a You say this to Kamachloik as a Taz in the Shach, in Dine Tvila. If somebody has long fingernails and plans to cut them, they're long. A person plans to trim the fingernails. And you toivel when it's already Asa Lekaitza, and you're already Daita Lekaitza, and you plan to do it. Whether that's a Chatzitza or not. The minig that Noshim have to trim their fingernails, the Machlek is Shach and Taz as to why. The Shach says that a long fingernail that's Asid L'Kaitzitza, that's a length that would be cut, is itself a Chatzitza. If you plan to remove it, it's a Chatzitza. The Taz says, no, it's not a Chatzitza at all. Like Yodei Sechelim is not a Chatzitza. And he says the minig that Noshim have is based on the Chashash to be dirt underneath. Now, if Gamina is, if it's already Shabbos, and a woman didn't trim her fingernails, so the shachos, you have to get a guy to trim the nails. You can't tie with long nails. And the Taz holds that, no, if you're stuck, you just clean it well, make sure it's clean well, because there's no be'etzem din, and the fingernails have to be trimmed. It's a minig based on a chashash of dirt. And the Mishnah Berurah says to Risemach on the Taz, if it came already Shabbos, to rely on the Taz and to just clean well underneath and to be tayvel. So this is the halacha. It's interesting. There are two levels to the shayla. One is a person didn't cut his nails. All 10 fingernails are long. Then you have somebody who cut his nails and forgot one fingernail. Forgot one. So 9 are cut and 1 is not cut. That's worse. Because a person's makpid, a person has a kapeda. It's one thing to have long fingernails. Another thing to have one long fingernail and 9 not long fingernails. So, it's more pronounced, more of a kapeda to try to get rid of it. And, if it comes up, you have to take care of it. It's a difficult thing. But the evet, if it was cleaned well, we would be makel. We'd be makel on such a thing. So this is the din. I like to tell people how when you answer shaylos, you have to have like a fifth shulchan aruch. Actually, the person asking has to have seichel. I once had somebody call me that his wife went to the mikveh. When she came home, she realized there was finger polish on one nail. What do you do now? I said, finger polish on one nail? Like that's a kapeda. If you have polish on all your nails, he could argue it's not a kapeda. You want it there. But polish on one nail, that's really a kapeda. So I couldn't understand. I mean, this woman, it would never happen. The lady would catch in the mikveh. So I asked, how did it happen? So he said that his wife was looking at the polish. She wanted to see what one looked like. So she put it on a toenail. On a toenail. I said, why didn't you tell me a toenail? You know, I say on one nail. It was on a toenail, and it's a woman that doesn't go with open shoes. So it's called Eina Makpedes, Miyachena Makpedes, and B'di'evet certainly, it's good. When you ask a shayla, you have to ask the whole shayla. But anyway, this Yodais HaKelim is the source for Rav Maisha's Chiddush, that as long as you tevel it, it doesn't have to be immersed in water all around, Dayoi, that's good enough.